Shalom! Holy Scriptures and Israel is a ministry designed to share with the Jewish people the good news of the Lord Jesus, Yeshua the Messiah, and to instruct Christians on the Jewish roots of their faith. And now, teaching God's Word from a Hebrew Messianic perspective, here is Gideon Levitan.
The study of the Gospel of Mark, chapter 5. But the faith was in a person of the Lord Yeshua the Messiah. They believed that apparently he came from God. He is the Mashiach. They didn't quite understand what you and I understand today, because we have the whole canon of Scripture. We can look to the Gospel, we can look to the Epistle, we look at the Book of Acts, and we read all the, what you call, Brit Chadasha, the New Covenant. They only had the Tanakh, and their understanding of what's going to happen was limited, but they believed that Yeshua was the one whom he said to be, the Messiah, the one who came from heaven, the one who came to introduce the kingdom that is going to come, the one that was promised by our forefathers, the prophet. So she said, if I'm going to only touch his clothes, just a touch, I will be healed. And so amazing how she came and she touched him. And you notice what it said in verse 29, straightway, no delay, the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the plague. No delay, beloved brothers and sisters. How wonderful to see. She touched the tzitzit. She touched the corner of his garment. And in a moment, in a second, she was healed. And as we read here in this verse, her fountain of her blood was dried up. No more draining of the blood, no more the issue of the blood. And she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And the Bible calls it a plague because the flowing of the blood for 12 years became as a plague to this poor woman. For 12 years, beloved brothers and sisters, we see here in this passage. And so we move along. And we see now again this story or this event is sandwiched between the event that is happening to Yair, to his daughter that is dying now in his own home. On the way to Yair, to Jairus' home, all of a sudden this event occurs. A woman plagued with an issue of blood, believing that Yeshua was indeed who he was, the Messiah, touched the corner of his garments, and immediately she was healed of that plague. And so the Bible tells us, Mark chapter 5 in verse 30, that Yeshua immediately knew that virtue, that power, have gone out of his body. He knew that immediately because he does say, and Yeshua immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press, and he said, who touched my clothes? Now it makes you wonder, hundreds and thousands of people pressing against him. All of a sudden he asked the question, who touched my clothes? Well, anyone could have touched your clothes. Because everybody want to walk with you, walk beside you, listen to what you have to say, touch you, and be with you as you walk towards the house of Jairus, the house of Yair. But he knew very well that power had gone out of virtue. By the way, the word for virtue, it's come from the Greek word that it says danimis. Danimis in the Greek, in the English is dynamite, and the Hebrew is come from the word gvura. Power. Remind us of the verse, the same word in the Greek and as well in the Hebrew in Romans 1:16. I am not ashamed of the gospel of the Messiah, for it is the power, the dynamite, the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believe, to the Jew first and also unto the Greek. The power that came out from him. He sensed it. He felt it. And we learn immediately that here is a man. The Messiah is a man. Yet he is much more than just a man. He is the Son of God. You remember, brothers and sisters, the whole Gospel of Mark began the beginning of the Gospel of Yeshua, HaMashiach, the Son of God, Ben HaElohim. He is more than just a man. Had he been only a man, he couldn't help us. He couldn't deal with the question of sin. He couldn't forgive sin if he was only a mere man, but he was the eternal Son of God, the Emmanuel, of whom we read in Isaiah 7:14 and Isaiah 9:6, a child is born and a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called the Mighty God, the Father of eternity. Beautiful to realize that. And here, power have gone out of him. Virtue have gone out of him. He turned around and he's looking at the press and he says to everyone, he says, "Who touched me?" Now, immediately his disciples, you notice, they quite didn't get it. Because apparently they said to him in verse 31, the disciples said unto him, "You see the multitude pressing thee, and you say, who touched me?" They didn't understand it. And you know what we learned from this? That even though many pressed against him and wanted to be near him, not everyone had the faith that this woman had. See, the crowds were all around, but there are individuals who really meant business with the Lord. They had a need, and they wanted that need met, and they wanted that he will heal them. And you know, brothers and sisters, there are so many needs, not only the physical needs. Think about the spiritual needs that man has today. We all need the Savior, the Mashiach, the Messiah, not only as a healer and improver of our bodily needs, but the one that will save us from sins. Faith is essential. In fact, the Bible tells us that without faith it is impossible to please God. Hebrews chapter 11, "And he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Hebrews 11 and verse 6. Without faith it is impossible to please God. Believing is essential. We know very well the famous verses in the Brit HaChadashah, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him shall not perish but have everlasting life." It is essential to believe in the person of Yeshua the Messiah. Later on, when he died and was buried and he rose, then we read, "If you shall confess Yeshua as Lord and believe that God had raised him from the dead, you shall be saved." Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. One must believe that he rose from the dead in this present day today, but he didn't die as yet. At a time where the Gospel of Mark was presenting the life of the Lord, she needed to believe in his person. Yair, Jairus need to believe in his person that he is indeed the promised Mashiach, the one who came from heaven. Now notice that I'm continuing on. In verse 31, 32, 33, and 34, we see the reaction there in these next verses. What's happened here? You notice immediately after the disciples said, "How come you say, who touched me? Don't you see all the people are around you? They all touch you." And he looked around about and he saw her, that she had done this thing. You know, the Lord, he knows who touched him very well. He doesn't need to ask, "Who touched me?" He looks, he turns his back and he sees that woman. He sees her very well. And you know, he sees the hearts of each and every one of us. He knows what's going on in our hearts. We might hide it. We might seek to conceal it before others who do not know our hearts, but the Lord knows our hearts. David of old said to our God, he says, "Search me, O Lord, and know my heart, know my thoughts, and see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in a way everlasting. The Lord can search our hearts. He knew her very well. And so when he turned around and he looked and he saw her, as we read here in verse 32, Mark chapter 5, the woman fearing, notice that, she fearing, she trembled, she knowing what was done in her, she came and notice, she fell down before him. And she told him all the truth. You see, in the earlier passage, verses 21 and verse 22, Jairus fell before him. But now we find that this woman is falling before him as well. That shows us that they were broken. They realize the need that they have. And they recognize who the person of Yeshua is. And they fell before him. In a sense, you might say, recognizing his divinity as well. If Yeshua was not divine, he would never allow anyone to fall before him and bow before him. Remember, thou shalt not have any other God before me, God said to our people of old. And when Peter came to the house of Cornelius, Cornelius fell before him. Peter said, get up, I'm only a man. And when Yohanan, John, have seen the vision of the angel and he bowed before the angel immediately said to him in chapter 22 of Revelation, get up, I'm only a servant like you. But Yeshua is more than just a man. And before him every knee shall bow. Every tongue will confess that Yeshua is Lord to the glory of God the Father. If they will not do it now, they will do it later. It's better to do it now and to do it and accept His grace than to do it later and to receive His judgment. Amazing. She fell before Him and notice that she opened before Him and she told Him all the truth. You see, probably tell Him, Lord, for 12 years, I'm separated from my friends and my family. And the reason is because I had an issue of blood. And I was, in a sense, an outcast for my own people. And there was nowhere that I could get help. I went to get doctors to get help from the doctor. They couldn't help me. I spent all my money and I don't have anything anymore. Lord, you're the only one who can help me. And that's why I came. And I touched you because I believe that you're going to be able to help me. And the Lord honor simple faith in him. And so we read, notice how wonderful. This is, I think, the only time we read in the gospel of a woman that is called daughter. In Hebrew, the word is biti, my daughter. And so we read, listen to this, how wonderful. He's saying to her, and he said unto her, daughter, thy faith has made the whole, go in peace, lechi b'shalom, lechi l'shalom, and be whole of thy plague. He already have healed her, but now he's telling her, go ahead, lechi, go in peace. And he says to her, be whole of thy plague. And we can say, beloved brothers and sisters, here, that it's not only that he healed her physically from her issue of blood, but spiritually, there was a healing spiritually. You see, we again, all of us by nature have a disease. And that disease called sin. Sin needs to be judged. And the only one who can heal us from our diseases and our sin-sick condition is the Mashiach who came from heaven to pay the price for our sin. And so we read here in this passage, verse 34, is where that concluded the event with the woman that had no name, anonymous woman, no name whatsoever, yet he healed her physically and spiritually. And now the story or the event that began with Jairus is continuing on. Remember, he had a daughter that was sick nigh unto death. So in verses 35 to the end of Mark chapter 5, verse 43, the continuance of the event with Yair is set before us. And so we read in verse 35 that while he yet spake, he was just speaking to this woman, there came of the ruler of the synagogue's house a certain which said, "Thy daughter is dead. Why do you trouble the master? Don't trouble him any further." So apparently, something happened while the Lord was on his way. What happened is that the daughter of Yair died. And who knows, Yair could have said, Jairus, Yair could have said to the Lord, "Hey, don't stop here. Run quickly to my house. Why are you now dealing with this woman?" But you see, there is no problem with the timing of the Lord. He knows everything that he's going to do, step by step. Just like in the time of Lazarus, that he delay his coming, that Eliezer will die eventually, and he will raise him from the dead. We find out right now that he's no problem with the delay. He continues on. And notice that it says here in verse 36, Yeshua's words of comfort to Yair, and he said to Yair, Jairus, that is, as soon that Yeshua heard the word that was spoken, he said unto the ruler of the synagogue, or to the leader of the synagogue, "Be not afraid, only believe." He comforted him, and he gave him an assurance, just simply trust me. Believe that I'm able to meet your need. Don't be afraid. And I can again imagine, beloved brothers and sisters, Yair must have felt terrible knowing that his daughter is nigh unto death, knowing that he may never see her anymore. What shall I do? And so the Lord Yeshua comforted him and he said to him, "Don't be afraid, only believe." And now notice verse 37, 38, in 39, Yeshua is taking with him only three unique men. It says here, Peter, James, and John. Yochanan, Yaakov, and Shimon. These are the three men that he always were near to him, very close to him. These are the three men that you often find them in Scripture. You might say the inner circle of the disciples. You find them in the Mount of Transfiguration. You find them even later on at the end of the Gospel of Mark in chapter 14 a little bit. Again, you find him again before he died. If you remember that he went to the Garden of Gethsemane, he took Peter and James and John. Peter and James and John. Here, Peter and James and John. Those were the inner circle. They were the closest group, you might say, that always find themselves very close to Yeshua the Messiah. He took them with him, verse 37. He come to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and he sees, what does he see when he arrived to the house? He sees a commotion. The people are weeping. The people are wailing. The Hebrew word wailing, meyalelim, and weeping, bochim. That's what happened in a funeral service or in a place where the dead are. People are weeping. They lost a loved one. In fact, you even have some, in history, we even had some professional wailers. As it says here, people are wailing, you know, in order to identify with the family loss. We even had those that are professional wailing in order to arouse everyone to sense the loss because someone dies. So a commotion there. And then finally, when Yeshua arrived into this house, then when he heard that and he saw it, he come in, he said unto them, "Why make ye such a commotion?" Verse 39. "And why you weep? The damsel is not dead, but she's sleeping." Now, of course, as far as they're concerned, she's dead. But as far as the Lord is concerned, he's going to wake her up. She's only sleeping. She's temporarily died, but he's going to raise her. She belongs to him. And you notice the Bible teaches us now, actually, later on, that death for the believer become a picture of sleeping. Scripture teaches us in the book of 1 Thessalonians, the those that slept through Jesus, through Yeshua, he will raise one day. We which are alive and remain should be caught up to meet the Lord in the air with those that are sleeping through Yeshua. The believer, his death or her death is merely sleeping. It's not death. It's a temporary position until the Lord will raise her. And so here it is, just to draw in, beloved brothers and sisters, towards the end, when he said that the damsel is asleep, she is not dead, everybody that was there began to laugh at him, according to verse 40, to scorn him. People don't realize that. I don't know if you've ever stood beside the grave of a loved one that just passed away. And you can look around and see the people. I remember a funeral service that I've done years ago for a little boy. And you can see the loss. You can hear the crying, the weeping of the loss. Because death means separation. Death brings everything to an end in this world. All the natural ties that we have with someone have vanished. Death is the end of a relationship. If you lose a loved one, a husband, or a wife, or a daughter, or a son, or a father, or a mother, it brings to an end, it cuts the relationship with a person. It's sad. That's why the Bible said to the believers, for we sorrow not as others which have no hope, but we do sorrow. But not as others which have no hope. The believer in Yeshua have hope. But here in this world, death sever every tie that we have. And that's why it is sad. And that's why we weep. That's why we are wailing. That's why it's pain. Give us a lot of pain. And Yeshua knows the pain that they had. And so while they laugh him to scorn, not understanding that he is able to raise a person from the dead, he put them all out. And then what did he do? He took with him inside the father, the mother of the damsel, and he took Peter, James, and John, Shimon, Petros, Yaakov, and Yohanan, and they all went into the bed where the little damsel lay down. Indeed, she was dead physically, yes. And so we read in that last verses here, Yeshua comes. I never could ever see in Scripture that Yeshua go to a funeral. See, you and I go to a funeral. But he is the resurrection and the life. When he goes to a funeral, he turns it into a celebration. Because he can't see the dead, he has to raise him or raise her. And so we find out that he took the damsel by the hand. And then he says, notice this is wonderful. In Hebrew, the word he called her Tali or Talita. It comes from the Hebrew word little lamb. The word Tale in Hebrew means a little lamb. Tali means my little lamb. And here we find him, he said unto her, Talita, little lamb, kumi, rise up, in Hebrew. And say, we read here, which is by interpretation, damsel, arise, kumi. And straightway, notice, no delay, the damsel arose, and she walked, for she was at the age of 12 years, and they were astonished, with a great astonishment. Tali is the Hebrew word for little lamb. Talita is a feminine name. Kumi in Hebrew, rise up. It reminds us of this wonderful verse in Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 11, where we do read about the Messiah when he's going to come, it does say, "He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs." That's the word, the talet, the little lambs. "He will gather the lambs with his arm, and he will carry them in his bosom, and he shall gently lead those that are with young." This is a prophetic word from Isaiah 40 and verse 11 about the Mashiach that will come to restore one day the nation of Israel. But here's an individual talet. An individual little lamb, a girl who was only 12 years of age that have died, and Yeshua raised her from the dead. "My little lamb, arise." And so she rose, and everyone was astonished at the doing of the Lord. Who can do such a thing? Only God can do such a thing. But this man, by the name of Yeshua, was more than just another man. He was indeed the Son of God. And there is a conclusion to chapter 5. "He charged them straightly that no man should know it, and he commanded that something should be given unto her to eat." Now, when I read this verse, I was just saying, what do you think, Lord? Nobody will know what happened here? Everybody was weeping and wailing. Everybody knew that she was dead. And you telling the family, don't say to anybody anything. Now, of course, the more he said, don't say, the more they went and told everyone, "My daughter was dead. She's now alive." You remember what the Samaritan woman said? "Come see a man who have told me all that I ever done. Is not this the Mashiach, the Messiah?" And you know, you and I, when the Lord does things in our life, we should tell others. Let others know what the Lord have done in your life and in my life. May the Lord just encourage us to realize that the Lord is a conqueror over danger, over demons, over diseases, and over death. This is Yeshua HaMashiach, the Son of God, who came from heaven to seek and to save them which are lost. Can we say amen to that?
You have been listening to the Holy Scriptures and Israel with Gideon Levitam. Gideon teaches God's Word from a Hebrew messianic perspective. For more information about this ministry, write to Holy Scriptures and Israel, Box 1411, Niagara-on-the-Lake, Ontario, L0S1J0, or visit our website at holyscripturesandisrael.com. You are also invited to Gideon's weekly Bible teaching on Fridays at 11 a.m. and 7 p.m., and Saturdays at 1 p.m., at Willowdale Christian Assembly Hall, 28 Martin Ross Avenue in Toronto. Holy Scriptures and Israel is made possible by your prayers and financial support. If you would like to support the program, visit holyscripturesandisrael.com. God bless you. Shalom, shalom.